Okay, on our chart, just going to mention briefly what we're looking at today will be covered on that last section. It's going to cover the section 6. So that covers 13 through 16 about Samson. Now, if we have time, we'll go through this at the end, but I'm not sure that we will. So just keep this to the side and just remember, because I might mention when I see some of the things, I might mention that sin or suffering or whatever. So if you hear that, okay. But we're going to try to cover 13 through 16 in one class if possible. That way we can cover the last five chapters in the next class, and then we will get to Ruth on our last class. So that's the plan. That's what we're shooting for. But that doesn't mean if you have any questions or comments, please still feel free to get my attention. So, in Judges 13 through 16, there's three main sections on this one. Chapter 13 talks about the birth of Samson. Then you have chapter 14 through 15, and it talks about Samson and the Philistine woman in Timnah. And then chapter 16, Samson and Delilah. So we're going to cover those three sections. Now in 13:1, it's going to talk about some sin that had been reoccurring. So now the sons of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. So on your chart, you can mark this 13:1 in your sin section. So again, we see, like we've seen in some of these past chapters, again, they do evil in the sight of the Lord. So what does that cause the Lord to do? Okay. Yes, sir. I had two of them. That's correct. Suffering. And then gave them into the hands of the Philistines. So that was the result of their sin, this doing evil in the sight of the Lord. So this suffering. And how long did this last? 40 years. Okay, so this lasted 40 years. In chapter 13, we're introduced to Manoah and his wife in verse 2. So this is Samson's parents. Verse 2 says, "And there was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and had borne no children." So we see in the next verse that the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman. Said that the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Behold, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and give birth to a son." But there's also a warning in verse 4. It says, this is because of her son-to-be, and it has to do with what he will be. It says, "Now therefore, be careful not to drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing." And in verses 3 and 5, both of these verses, it states how this barren woman was to conceive and give birth to a son, or how she would conceive and give birth to a son. Posed a question on the material. It says, "What was the reason given for no razor to come upon his head?" In verse 5. Okay, because he was a Nazarite. Okay, so it says that he shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb. And we won't look at all of it, but look over at number 6. Number 6, and you can at least write that on your lesson if you want to look at that any further. But in number 6, it talks about and describes this Nazarite vow and explains some of the things about it and this reasoning about the no drinking and not to be around unclean things. And there's different things that you can see through there. And so if you want to note that on your material when you have time, just read number 6. And it'll help explain some of that a little more, that what this has to do with, this being a Nazarite to God. So it stated that he was going to be a Nazarite to God from the womb. And then the angel of the Lord appeared to this woman and tells her these things. And she, Manoah's wife, she told Manoah about this man of God that came to her. And 6, it says, oh, better get back to Judges. In 13:6 of Judges, it says, then the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came to me, and his appearance was like the appearance of the angel of God, very awesome. And I did not ask him where he came from, nor did he tell me his name. But he said to me, behold, you shall conceive and give birth to a son. And now you shall not drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. For the boy shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. So he's to be a Nazarite to God from the womb into the day of his death. And then Manoah, when he hears of this, he asks the Lord to send the man of God, which his wife was speaking to. And in verse 8, it said that, you know, that's where he does this, that Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O Lord, please let the man of God whom thou hast sent come to us again, that he may teach us what to do for the boy who is to be born. So he would have instructions how they're supposed to handle these things, what they're supposed to do with him. And God listens to his voice. We see that in verse 9. It said that he listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again to the woman as she was sitting in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. So the woman ran quickly and told her husband, behold, the man who came the other day has appeared to me. And then you see that he, Manoah, arose and followed his wife. And when he came to the man and said to him, are you the man who spoke to the woman? And he said, I am. Manoah said, now when your words come to pass, what shall the boy's mode of life and his vocation be? So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, let the woman pay attention to all that I said. She should not eat anything that comes from the vine, or drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. Let her observe all that I have commanded. So Manoah asked the angel of the Lord to stay. He says, please let me detain you so that I may prepare a kid for you. And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you prepare a burnt offering, then offer it to the Lord. For Manoah did not know that he was the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, what is your name? So that when your words come to pass, we may honor you. But the angel of the Lord said to him, why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful? So Manoah took the kid with the grain offering, offered it on the rock to the Lord. And he performed wonders while Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came about when the flame came up, or went up, from the altar toward heaven, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. Now the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah or his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. So Manoah knew by this, now he understands who he's been speaking to. And so then he becomes fearful. We see that in verse 22, because he tells his wife, "We shall surely die, for we have seen God." But then his wife explains some things to him, and she said, "If the Lord had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and grain offering from our hands, nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have let us hear things like at this time." So then, 24, we see that Samson is born. It says that the woman gave birth to a son, named him Samson, and the child grew up, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him in Mahanadan between Zorah and Eshtaol. So, this is what we know about his parents. And then, as we saw, that the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him. And we'll have some more to say about some of those terminologies, because we'll see that a couple of times as we go through these chapters. Now, there's indication that Samson did not give complete deliverance to Israel, and that's just the way some of these things are worded. If you look at back at verse 5 of chapter 13, Judges 13:5. Note how it's worded differently when we see here in the account of Samson. Because if you remember back in some of the past accounts, when we're talking about some of the judges, it usually notes that the judge delivered and that the land was undisturbed or had rest for X amount of years. We don't see that here. In 5b, it says that he will begin to deliver Israel from the hands of the Philistines. And then if you go over a couple of chapters in chapter 15, verse 20, chapter 15, verse 20, it says he judged Israel 20 years in the days of the Philistines. Not indicating that they were complete or completely delivered yet. So it was in the days of the Philistines. But he definitely had some success against him. We'll see that as we go on. So definitely some success against him. And it's possible that Samuel was contemporary during this time. You can look to 1 Samuel 7. In 1 Samuel 7, verse 12, we'll read 12 through 14. It says, "Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and named it Ebenezer, saying, 'Thus far the Lord has helped us.' So the Philistines were subdued, and they did not come anymore within the border of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron, even Gath. And Israel delivered their territory from the hand of the Philistines. So there was peace between Israel and the Amorites." So we see this could possibly be during some of the same times. And in chapter 14, because we just talked about Samson and what it said about his background or his birth. Then you get into chapter 14. Now, what do we see taking place in the first two verses here? In chapter 14, 1 through 2, I heard something.
Samson wants a Philistine woman.
Okay, so Samson wants a Philistine woman. So he sees this daughter of Philistine in Timnah. And he wants her for his wife. So it said that he went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah, a daughter of the Philistines. So he came back and told his father and mother, "I saw a woman in Timnah, one of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me as a wife." So he's interested in this woman. What does verse 3 tell us the reason that he wants this woman? I put on there, it says that because of her kindness or something to that extent. Okay. Yeah, I was going to get you to give a little more. Okay, yes, she pleases his eyes. She looks good to him. So that was what he said, "For she looks good to me." So it was her physical beauty, something attracted him to her. And then from here we start to see a weakness that Samuel has, because we'll see here that he has issues with women. It appears that what he is looking at in a woman might be some of the reasons for this mistreatment. So choosing the wrong woman, but we see that, but that's okay because there's a purpose. As God does, He uses this situation. So remember what was stated in 3a about the father and the mother's concern. It said that his father and his mother said to him, "Is there no woman?" This is after he said that he wanted go get this wife for me. He tells his parents that. And his father and mother said to him, "Is there no woman among the daughters of your relatives or among all our people that you go to take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines?" But Samson said to his father, "Get her for me, for she looks good to me." So, you know, we see the concern of the parents and what they're looking at. But then what does the Lord say about this in verse 4? It says, "However, his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord, for he was seeking an occasion against the Philistines." So the Lord's going to use this. Now at the time, the Philistines were ruling over Israel. So we see here, the Lord's going to use this situation, as we've seen him do before. Then in verse 7, we see, or like it said, he states, she looked good to Samson, like it stated in a previous verse, in verse 3, that looks good to me. So she looked good to Samson. This is what is getting his attention. And then in 12 through 13, verses 12 through 13, we're still in chapter 14. It talks about this riddle. Samson said, "Let me now propound a riddle to you, if you will indeed tell it to me within 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 linen wraps and 30 changes of clothes. But if you are unable to tell me, then you shall give me 30 linen wraps and 30 changes of clothes." And they said, tell us or propound your riddle that we may hear it. So he tells his riddle. He said to them, out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet, but they could not tell the riddle in 3 days. Now, we skipped that little section, but we're gonna pick up that here in just a second when we're looking at something, when we're looking at a phrase that come out a couple of times in these verses. So this is the riddle that he proposes to them. And what ends up happening is the Philistines get the help of his wife to find out the riddle. And we see that his luck with women again, if at least my way of wording it, they seem to be more worried about the Philistines than Samson. So there's a different goal. In verse 15, it came about on the fourth day that they said to Samson's wife, "Entice your husband, that he may tell us the riddle, lest we burn you and your father's house with fire." Now that's incentive. Have you invited us to impoverish us? Is this not so? And Samson's wife wept before him and said, "You only hate me, and you do not love me. You have propounded a riddle to the sons of my people and have not told it to me." And he said to her, "Behold, I have not told it to my father or mother. So should I tell you?" However, she wept before him 7 days while their feast lasted. And it came about on the seventh day that he told her because she pressed him so hard. She then told the riddle to the sons of her people. So we see here, we learn something in here, because we're going to see it again. After a while, when he's trying to keep things from this woman, and we'll see it with Delilah as well, they're pressing. So he gives in. And he tells this riddle. And then the men in the city answer his riddle. We see that in verse 18. And so when this happened, it said, "The men of the city said to him on the seventh day, before the sun went down, 'What is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion?' And he said to them, 'If you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have found out my riddle.'" So basically, you know, they got this information from his wife. If they wouldn't have got it from her, they wouldn't have known. And we see here, it mentions verse 20, that Samson's wife was given to his companion, who had been his friend. And then when we go over to the next chapter, we see in the first two verses, it's kind of like he's going to claim his wife. Said, "After a while, in the time of the wheat harvest, it came about that Samson visited his wife with a young goat and said, 'I will go into my wife in her room.' But her father did not let him enter. And her father said, 'I really thought that you hated her intensely, so I gave her to your companion. Is not her younger sister more beautiful than she? Please let her be yours instead.'" And Samson wasn't pleased with that. He tells them, "This time I shall be blameless in regard to the Philistines when I do them harm. And we read in the next two verses what he does. Here he catches some foxes, or 300 foxes to be exact, and torched them and turned them loose, tail to tail, and put one torch in the middle between two tails. And we had set fire to the torches. He released the foxes into the standing grain of the Philistines, thus burning up both the shocks and the standing grain, along with the vineyards and groves." So he uses these foxes to catch everything on fire, basically. So that's what he does. And then the Philistines kill his wife and her father. Said, then the Philistines said, who did this? You know, talking about burning everything up. And they said, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he took his wife and gave her to his companion. So the Philistines came up and burned her and her father with fire. So they killed him. And then as a result, Samson said to them, since you act like this, I will surely take revenge on you, but after that I will quit. And he struck them ruthlessly with a great slaughter, and he went down and lived in the cleft of the rock at Edom. So, in the next verse, we see where Judah said, why have you come up against us? And they said, we have come up to bind Samson in order to do him as he did us. Talking about the Philistines. And then the men of Judah speak to Samson. Because it said that there was 3,000 men of Judah went down to the cleft of the rock and said to Samson, do you not know that the Philistines are rulers over us? What then is it that you have done to us? And he said to them, as they did to me, I have done to them. But note something else that Samson says. Because they said to him in verse 12, we have come down to bind you so that we may give you into the hands of the Philistines. That's what the men of Judah say. And Samson just tells them, well, swear to me that you will not kill me. And they reply, they said, no, but we will bind you fast and give you into their hands. Yet surely we will not kill you. Then they bound him with two new ropes and brought him up from the rock. Now in verse 14, we see the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson. And this is one of the questions on the lesson. That's what I was alluding to when I passed some of the sections there. Because in 13:25, that's the first place that we see something where it was mentioned several times about Samson, that the Spirit of the Lord had come upon him. And so in the following verses, what happened? What does it say in these particular verses? So in, we'll go back to chapter 13. Chapter 13:25. Now this was beginning after the birth of Samson. It said, in this terminology, it said the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him. So the Spirit began to stir him, and then to do what? Was this was where he was going to begin his deliverance of Israel. And then when you go to the next chapter, we see it two different times in the next chapter. In 14 verse 5, we see this. Well, actually, it's verse 6. Verse 5 gives some indication what all was going on. It said that when he went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came as far as the vineyards of Timnah, that behold, a young lion came out roaring towards him. And this is in verse 6 where we see where the Lord came upon him. It said the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily. So when the Spirit came upon him, in this instance, what took place? What did it do for him? What did coming upon him do for him?
He killed a lion.
Okay. So it gave him strength to tear up or kill the young lion. And then if you go down to verse 19, you're going to see this phrase again. It says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily. So when it came upon him mightily this time, what was it describing that he did? What did he do?
He killed 30 of them.
Okay, he killed 30 of the Philistines.
Took their spoil.
Okay. But it gave him the courage or the strength and possibly the skill to kill 30 Philistines. So it definitely gave him the ability to kill these 30 Philistines. And then when you get to where we left off in chapter 15, verse 14 and 15, again, same term, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily. So that, but first what did he do? Remember, he's bound. So it gave him the strength to tear the ropes, right? To break his binds. And then gave him the strength and the fighting ability to do what? What did he do this time?
Killed 1,000 men.
1,000 men. Yes, with a jawbone. Yes. And that brings up a good point. Think of something just for a second with me. Remember way back, chapter 3, Shamgar in Judges. Remember one little section about him in 331. But what it said about him, that he struck down 600 Philistines with an ox goad. Now, remember, we didn't get into a lot of detail what that is. But basically, it's a tool or a big stick that they goaded or moved ox with. So, when you think about that, the skill it took to take out 600 guys with this, I mean, that's not your normal battle equipment. So think about that. And we see something similar here. And what I'm getting to, we know it took more than just his skill, his ability. Consider what Samson does here in 14. He couldn't have done this on his own. And that's the whole point. You know, God makes this possible. He kills 1,000 men with a jawbone of a donkey. So, you know, again, we see what is being used is something that is not your normal battle equipment. And I think there's a point to be made by that, because it emphasizes to me this ability that he has. It wasn't his ability. God gave him the ability to do this. God gave him the success to conquer these men. Remember earlier on, it said, you know, God had a purpose for him. He was going to use him. So I just find that interesting when we read things like that. So just something to think about. So after this, after after he kills these 1,000 men, you see in verse 18, it says that he became very thirsty, and he called the Lord and said, "Thou hast given this great deliverance by the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised?" So we see this deliverance that he, this great deliverance that he has done. But God splits a hollow place And so he's able to drink, and he's revived and strengthened by this drink. And then let's read verse 20, the last verse of chapter 15. It says, "So he judged Israel 20 years in the days of the Philistines." So is the story over? No? Okay. Usually in the other chapters, when we see how long someone has judged, again, like we mentioned earlier, the things are phrased a little different in this one. And, you know, because a lot of the other times you see after they judge that many years or whatever that they were given rest or there's those type of comments, peace or something to that extent. We don't see that here. It just said that he judged Israel 20 years in the days of the Philistines. And so, you know, it makes you wonder why is this being mentioned here? You know, because we still have chapter 16. There's still a whole other chapter that talks about him. And then if you note at the very end of chapter 16, then it does say something similar like we usually see, because it's gone through his whole story and everything. And then in 31b, it says, "Thus he had judged Israel 20 years. Now that we're used to seeing at the very end. So why is it mentioned at the end of 15? Is there a reason for that? You know, because that wasn't the end of his record, the end of what was going to be going on. Is it possible that it does it this way? Well, definitely it should get our attention, because we see that that's not how this is normally going on. Is it a note to his fall and the ruin that we're going to see in chapter 16? Possibly. So something to think about. So chapter 16. Whoo, got 4 minutes. Okay, we're going to finish this. You're on your own with the chart, though. We're not going to have time for that. Okay, chapter 16. It says that he went to Gaza and he saw a harlot and went into her. And when it says he saw a harlot, is it alluding to something that's already been revealed about him? The reason why I say that is because we've seen in the past he's attracted. That's what gets his attention, is this attraction. At least what we saw with the woman in Timnah. So is that what it's alluding to here? I don't know. It just says that he, you know, saw her. Was it her beauty? Maybe. It doesn't really explain, and it only speaks of her in these first three verses. So it doesn't give a lot of detail to that. But then when you get into 4, verse 4, it says it's going to speak of another woman. And it says that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek. And what was her name?
Delilah.
Okay, whose name was Delilah. So this, we get into the story of Samson and Delilah. Now, why is Delilah helping the Philistines, according to verse 5? Money, okay. So gain for money. 5 says, "We will each give you 1,100 pieces of silver." And verse 6, said that Delilah said to Samson, "Please tell me where your great strength is and how you may be bound to afflict you." Should be warning number one, guys. But we will see this happening over and over. And she asked Samson what his weakness is. She asked him over and over what his weakness is, or 3 times. And he gives her, he answers her, but not with the truth. For example, if you look at the first time in verse 7, it said that He told her, if they bind me with seven fresh cords that have not been dried, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. And the lords of the Philistine brought up to her seven fresh cords that they had not been dried, and she bound them with them. And she had these guys lying to wait in the inner room. And she said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he snapped the cords as a string of towel snaps when it touches fire. So his strength was not discovered. So it goes on and on. You see this happening a couple other times. And he just uses different lie. And so once again, she tells him, hey, the Philistines are upon you. And once again, he breaks the cords. So he gets 15. Well, 17, but 15 gives some explanation. Then she said, Delilah said to him, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have deceived me these three times and have not told me where your great strength is. And it came about when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him. Remember, we saw this in the other one. Pressed him. That his soul was annoyed to death. So he told her all that was in his heart and said to her, a razor has never come on my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaved, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. So that's what she does. Just to wrap it up short because I'm out of time. Basically, so she lies his head in her knees, shaves his head. He doesn't even realize at the time that his strength had left him, verse 19. Then he gets 20, and it said that he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. And then when you get down towards the end, you see that they were using him for amusement. And then he is in this area. They have like over 3,000 people on the roof. He's put by these pillars. And then let's look at 28, verse 28. And Samson calls to the Lord and said, O Lord God, please remember me and please strengthen me just this time, O God, that I may at once be avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Note something real quick, verse 22, because that helps explain something that's about to take place. So in verse 22, the Holy Spirit wants us to know something. It says, however, the hair of his head began to grow again after it was shaved off. So he's growing hair again. Where's his strength? In his hair. Okay. So his strength is in his hair. And he's growing hair again. And then in 29, Samson grasped the two middle pillars in which the house rested and braced himself against them, the one with his right hand and the other with his left hand. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bent with all his might so that the house fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. And it notes that so the dead whom he killed at his death were more than those whom he killed in his life. So a lot were killed at that time. Verse 31, thus he judged Israel 20 years. I'm out. Okay. Went over a minute or so. Thank you, Neil. So I've got to get them off the copier, but the next class will be the last five chapters. So if you'll pick that up in the back, we'll finish that in the next class, Lord willing.